The next presentation is actually a film, or two films, by Mr. Robert Wood of the Brevard College Observatory in Cocoa, Florida, member unattached. So I'll ask Mr. Wood to take the podium and introduce his films.
I think now that everyone's had their morning coffee, I can say bonjour, good morning, good morgen without being shot. This 8 o'clock in the morning bit is not unusual for a teacher, so I had to be up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning. Several months ago, in fact, about a year and a half ago, at Brevard Junior College, we decided to make a little film to send on the GT-70 circuit. The GT-70 group of junior colleges in the United States is of 70 junior colleges scattered throughout the United States. This group of colleges makes films, television tapes, of interesting things that are going on at their particular institution and then send them out on the circuit. They go around and finally return. We had been doing some occultation work in March of 1969, just before the Apollo 12 launch, and we found that our times increased in error over a period of about a week, over the predicted times. We sent our findings into the Naval Observatory at Washington. They were the clearinghouse at that time. Now Greenwich is the clearinghouse. And almost immediately we got a telephone call back asking us to recheck and make sure that our timing was accurate. We did recheck and we found that we were absolutely correct in our timings. They then contacted three or four other contributing observatories. Their times had increased, but they had not thought it pertinent at that moment. Well, it happened that Venus had gone between the Earth and the Sun in March of 1969, and the Moon was just coming around in the proper three-quarter position and got a nice yank, a gravitational pull. As a result, the Moon was about 5 miles ahead in orbit and about a mile north of where it should have been. This information was pumped right back down to Cape Kennedy, and all of the course plans were changed for Apollo 12 so they'd land at the proper place instead of 5 or 6 miles away. So we, on a shoestring, and we have a little 12.5-inch telescope and a bunch of eager students, about 115 of them usually, were able to contribute to the space program. And we thought that this was significant enough to make a film. Well, we submitted the film to the circuit, and we also submitted it to the Newsweek Bolex camera competition. And in early 1970, we placed first in the science division with this film, the one that you will see. We sent it to Rochester for a 17-nation film festival this past February, and in March we were notified that we had won first place again. So there's not too much of scientific value in the film, really, but it shows you what can be done on a shoestring. Now the second film, we'll go from one right to the other, I hope. The second film is an occultation of Regulus. There were no bright stars being occulted at the time we made the first film, so we had to dummy it up. We had to use tabletop photography. Well, we did catch a good occultation of Regulus. We got the immersion and the emersion, or the disappearance and reappearance, according to how technical you wish to be, and sent the movie film off to the processor. When we got them back, all we had was the immersion. They had seen nothing but a point of light on the first 100 feet of the film. Who wants to look at a point of light? So they threw it away. More scientific film has been lost in this fashion, I presume, than any other way. So without any further ado, we will splice this into the film a little later when we remake it and remake the soundtrack. So the second short film will be without sound, And I'll ask you to watch right near the Mare Crisium area. That's where Regulus will reappear. The first one is full sound.
Once a spacecraft has been launched toward the moon, range of adjustment that can be made in its course is small. American spacecraft have flown incredibly true courses.
Roger, copy.
These accurate flights depend on a small group of space navigators who do their work without pay. This is Robert Wood, director of the observatory at Brevard Junior College in Cocoa, Florida. By day, he's a professor of mathematics and astronomy. But during the evening, along with other volunteer workers across the country, he is an important contributor of space navigation data. He's preparing for an evening's work in his navigational specialty, observing lunar star occultations. Wood's tools are simple: a shortwave radio, a tape recorder, and his telescope. The data he collects, interpreted by the Naval Observatory, will directly determine the course for the Apollo missions. In lunar occultation, the observer accurately records the precise time at which certain stars disappear behind the unlighted limb of the moon. When the position of the observer is known, and that of the specified star, the location of the moon at the instant of occultation can be calculated. When enough lunar positions have been plotted, the exact location of the moon at the time of Apollo's landing can be predicted and programmed on the mission's computers. Wood's method is simple and accurate. As he watches through the telescope, he talks through the occultation into the microphone. He simultaneously records signals from WWB, the National Bureau of Standards time station. When he plays the tape back, the radio signals are superimposed on his countdown, and exact analysis is possible. An error of only a tenth of a second in the observation can mean an inaccuracy of 1,000 yards for the spacecraft. To allow for slight errors in his rate of speech and timing, Wood has determined his average reflex time, and he allows for that factor in his tabulated data. The accuracy of his method is indicated by his data's acceptance rate by the Naval Observatory, better than 90%. Wood's hours are long, moonrise to moonset. His dedication is complete. His record for accuracy is enviable.
We copy it down, Eagle.
Though he receives no money for his services, his reward is enough.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Use a builder. This was straight photography.
I mean, in your IP, when you're
When I'm using, no, I do not. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Well, how much does it cost?
What was this?
What is the cost?
Oh, heavens, I don't know. We shot about 1,000 feet. This is 300, about 300 feet of drill.
Is that it? Or
between 3 and 4.
16 millimeter.
The gentleman who makes this, or who photographed this, is the director of photography and television recording at college. And we buy our film in bulk, so it's a lot less expensive. Yes, sir?
I was thinking of attempting to make a movie of a grazing operation, something like a movie of regular speed. I was wondering what the highest speed movie film you could buy is, and whether it's black and white and color. I've asked the camera shops, so they say the Kodachrome 2 is the one I can buy.
No, you could get Tri-X in the black and white. It's grainy, but if you soup it yourself or have someone soup it with a very fine grain developer, it'll work. You could push it to 1200, but I wouldn't. It's too grainy. I think the Ektachrome X is out in 16 millimeter. That's 160 speed. We have done some work with that, and it turned out quite well.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir?
The occultation, there was an apparent reduction in speed after it left the side of the moon. Has any check been made on this or any other time to make sure this is real or this is apparent?
No, it's just apparent so far as we can tell. But being close to the moon, it appears to move more swiftly, that's all. As it gets out of the way. And this is very true of an immersion. For those of you that have watched a number of occultations, the star will come up there and will hang on the edge of the moon. You'll think it's never going to occult, but suddenly it's gone. Well, that's exactly what happened here. It popped out and seemed to hang there for a few moments, then moved out rather rapidly and then slowed down. Just one of those things. I mentioned to the gentleman that talked about, you were the one on occultations. We have had quite a bit of dimming and brightening, and dimming and brightening again of a star just before it occulted at the equator of the moon, shadow banding. And if you look for it, you can actually see it. Some of the brighter stars, second, third magnitude stars, or even first, will show this brightening and dimming. And it all takes place within a second or so of the actual dump out as it goes behind the moon. This is something you could do with a photoelectric photometer, look it up and get a good trace on it, but pay the fast enough.
Never mind.
Sir? Well, again, it's according to the optical system of telescope. We use 32 millimeter, and then the focuser for infinity, or actually Bolex, has a through the lens reflex viewer, and you can focus right now to very, very sharp. Thank you very much.